Okay, so if you're on your cell phone, please continue. Which is the topic of what we're going to speak about. If you're not on your cell phone, a good afternoon. And nice to be with you. This class is going to talk about can you text and can you learn during Chazarat HaShatz, during what's known as the Chazan's repetition. I hope by the end of this class you may call it the Chazan's repetition and you may not. But ultimately that's the topic we're going to deal with. Source sheets were supposed to be in front of you. Much to my dismay, there was a glitch in the email sending them to the printer, and the printer somehow didn't get them here. So therefore, we're going to use the old-fashioned method. Does everyone know what this is? It's called a pad of paper. Have you seen these before? Okay, when the dinosaurs used to roam the face of the earth, they used to have these things. If you put down your email address, I'll be very happy to send you the sources with pleasure. And you'll be able to get them and then understand, at least retroactively, what we're speaking about today. And here is the issue. I'm going to make it very simplified, simply because we're under a bit of time constraints, but not terrible. Everybody knows where we started with Chazarat HaShatz. Everybody knows where we are today with Chazarat HaShatz in terms of the fact that we continue doing it. Nobody knows how to explain why we're doing it. Now let me explain. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, page Lamed Dalet Amud Bet, comes to the conclusion that the sages decided to enact this thing called the Chazan repeating the silent Amida out loud, turning the silent Amida into a vocal Amida, in order to allow those that can't daven to listen to the Chazan and answer Amen. So you can picture the scene. A guy comes to shul, would like to daven, but cannot. So what does he do, or what does she do? They put their feet together, taking three steps back, three steps forward. You don't have to be a rocket scientist for that. They listen to every word of the Chazan, they answer Amen, and it's as if they davened. That's the way Chazarat HaShatz started. There were many people that couldn't daven, either because they didn't have a sitter in front of them, and they just didn't know what to say, or they had a sitter, but they couldn't read. That's the way it started, everybody agrees. Everybody agrees, in addition to that, of where we are today. Thank God today, not only do we have sitters in front of us, many of us are literate, everybody knows how to daven. However, the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, and everyone else says, once the sages enacted something, it sticks. There's nothing you can do to take it away. We won't go into why, but suffice it to say, do you go to shuls where they make Kiddush Friday night in shuls? Why did they originally enact to make Kiddush in shul? After all, you're supposed to make Kiddush where you eat, and no one's eating in shul.
People used to eat in shul.
And today when people don't eat in shul, the enactment sticks. Even though the reason's not there, the enactment sticks. So today, even though we have transliterated sitters, and we don't have a lack of printing, and thank God every shul is stocked with sitters, be it shuls, homes, and even your cell phone. Quite frankly, we still continue this enactment because the enactment sticks. That's what the Rambam says, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Mishnah Berurah says. Everybody agrees with where we are today. So, to sum up, we know where we started from. Chazarat HaShatz started in order to allow people to daven that couldn't, either because they didn't have a sitter or they didn't know how to read. Everybody agrees that the enactment sticks today, even if that reason is irrelevant. Now, why? Once the enactment sticks, what is Chazarat HaShatz all about? So we know the motivation of why we made Chazarat HaShatz, but what's the character of Chazarat HaShatz itself? And here we have a fascinating machloket between two people, the Rambam, Maimonides, and the Rosh. Everybody heard of these two people? The Rambam, anyone want to help? Rav Moshe ben Maimon and the Rosh, please don't say head. Ravenu Asher. The Rambam comes along and says the following words. And I quote, Ketzad hi tfilat ha-tzibur. Anyone want to translate? Ketzad hi, how is? Tfilat ha-tzibur. The communal prayer. The prayer of the community. And he goes on to say, everybody listens to a chazan, and the chazan repeats the entire Amidah, and everyone answers Amen. That's the way the Rambam defines it for us. It's a communal prayer. Everybody's davening. Who's the representative that's actually saying the words? The Shliach Tzibur. It's very much like I have a whole battalion of soldiers. Everybody's about to fight. Who's going to lead the fight? Who's going to tell them where to shoot? The commander. So we're in shul. We're all davening. every one of us. It's a communal prayer on behalf of the community. The chazans are representative. That's the way the Rambam explains it. If I could just quote the Mishnah Brura, who makes it crystal clear, Kevan shemechavnim veshomim mishliach tzibur, because people listen to the chazan when he repeats the amida, ki ilu mitpalelim ba'atzmam damya. Which means, ki ilu mitpalelim ba'atzmam damya, is as if they are davening themselves. So ultimately, if that's correct, what should we call Chazaret HaShatz? We shouldn't call it the Chazan's repetition. It's not the Chazan's repetition. It's all of our davening together. But there's one person that's our spokesman. He speaks on behalf of all of us. That's the way the Rambam goes ahead and says is the character of this particular idea of having the Chazan repeat the Amidah. The Rosh disagrees. Rabbeinu Asher comes along and says, no, it's actually called the Chazan's repetition. And I quote, HaChazan mitpalel lotzi et misheino baki. The Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei in order to allow those who can't daven to daven. V'hakahal, and those that are ready daven, yesh lehem lishtok ulechaven lebirkat HaChazan. The congregation should be quiet and have kavana to the bracha of the Chazan. What doesn't he say? The bracha of the congregation. No, he says the bracha of the chazan, and he goes on to say that it's the shliach tzibur that says this, and the shliach tzibur that says that, and ultimately, according to the Rosh, we can call it the chazan's repetition. It was originally there to help those that can't daven. Maybe they're in shul, maybe they're not. If you go to a big congregation, suffice it to say there may be people there that don't know how to daven, then ultimately, that's what it's there for. So if you've already davened, you davened your silent Amidah, and you did it properly. According to the Rosh, do you have any reason to listen to Chazaret HaShatz? Not really. I mean, it's there.
Except for the fact that the big difference is you've got Kedusha in the middle of Chazaret HaShatz.
Correct. There is Kedusha. That's to arouse the people a little to participate, and we'll have to deal with that in a moment. But ultimately, you've done your share. Now the Chazan is going to repeat everything in order to go ahead and help those that can't daven. It's his davening. It's called the Chazan's repetition. That's the Rosh's idea. The Rambam, on the other hand, what does he say? He says, take your art school siddur, the Koran siddur, and any other siddur that's translated into English, where it says Chazan's repetition, what should you do? Cross it out, take white out, use anything necessary, and what should you call it? The communal prayer. In other words, when we daven privately, we daven for ourselves. Every one of us have our own needs. We need money, we need health, we need wisdom, we need to get along with our wives. Okay, maybe that's pushing it. But ultimately, most of the things we need comes along the Rambam and says, that's your business in your silent Amidah. Who listens to you? God. That's it. No one's listening. That's why it's called the silent Amidah. Once that's finished, is our job done? Well, thank God, I'm okay. You know, I ask for health, and I ask for wisdom, and I ask for money. I have faith in God, I'm good. Finish. Take my 3 steps back. Next. Next on the agenda? Community. The Rosh would say Kiddush. The Rambam says, no, you got to deal with the community. Maybe the community needs help. Maybe the community needs more funds in order to fund Jewish education and other such Jewish events. We need to daven for the community. So now we're all going to daven, not for ourselves, but for the community. 3 steps forward. Who's going to be the representative? The Chazan, the Shliach Tzibur. Ultimately, 2 different models of Chazaret HaShatz. In my humble opinion, this comes down to the codes. Comes along the Shulchan Aruch and says the following words, and I quote, when the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, and ultimately you don't have 9 people that answer Amen, Karov Hadavar Lihiyot Beracha Levatala. It is very close to saying a blessing in vain. He doesn't say it's a blessing in vain, because the Chazan is doing what he's supposed to do, repeat Shmoneh Esrei. Why is he repeating Shmoneh Esrei? For those that can't. If I already did, it's not nice that a Chazan saying 19 blessings and no one's going to say anything like Amen. So he says, Karov HaDavar. It's close to being Bracha Levatala. On the other hand, the Ramah, on that same law, the Ramah in the Code of Jewish Law says, Yeshumim Shekola Am Ya'amdu Kishechozer HaShliach Tzibur Tatfila. Some say that everyone should stand up when the Chazan's repeating the Shmoneh Esrei. Why would you stand up? Because it's your tefillah too. It's not your personal tefillah, it's your communal tefillah. You offer two tefillah today. One is on behalf of yourself, and the other is on behalf of the community. And therefore, just like you stand up for your personal tefillah, you should stand up for the communal one. So ultimately, the Shulchan Aruch says, there's no reason to stand up, sit down. Answer Amen, it's a nice thing. If you don't answer Amen, it's close to being a bracha levatala. Comes along, the Ramah says, no, you should stand up because it's as if you're davening. And ultimately, because it's a communal prayer, you ultimately come to davening and you daven for the community. So we have two models here. The model of the Rosh is very simple. The sages enacted that you should repeat the Shmoneh Esrei for those that can't daven. If you've already davened, you've done your share, you want to be there, great. You don't want to be there, you don't have to be there. Comes along the Rambam and says, absolutely not. The motivation was, like we said, for people that can't daven. But once it was enacted, then what do we have now? We have two kinds of tefillot. One personal, one public. Does anybody know what that's like? When I say personal and public, and I talk about a shul, which is called a mikdash me'at, a small temple. Can anyone tell me another model where there's personal versus public? Korbanot. If you yourself were saved, you were in a car crash and you were saved, you bring a korban todah, correct? That's your personal korban. On Erev Pesach, all the Jewish people have to bring a korban. It's called a korban. Good guess. Korban Pesach. And ultimately, it's personal. You can have 25, 30, 50 people on one korban. It's personal for 50 people. At the same time, on the same day, in the Beit HaMikdash, there was another kind of korban, brought in the morning and in the afternoon. What was it called? Korban Tamichel. Boker ve Korban Tamichel. Ben Arabayim, what we colloquially call the Shachris Korban and the Mincha Korban. And all the Korbanot were sandwiched in between. That was communal. One Kohen, a bunch of Kohanim, the Levim, Yisraelim brought it. Not on behalf of themselves, on behalf of all the Jewish people. Musaf, Korban Sibur or Korban Yachid? Communal or personal? Musaf on Shabbos, Musaf on Yontif. Communal, of course communal. Today is Pesach Sheni. If you didn't bring the Korban Pesach on the first time you can bring it today. Personal or communal? Personal. Comes along the Rambam and says, when we come to Shul, we're mimicking what used to be in the temple because that's the way the sages patterned the times of davening. So let's go one step further. Just like in the temple, there was a personal Korban and a private Korban. When you stand before God, you do it personally and you do it privately, first privately in silence, and then you do it publicly for everyone else. The Rosh doesn't agree with anything I just said. He says very simply, it's for those that can't daven, it's the Chazan's repetition. So to sum up what we said until now, we all know where Chazarat Hashatz started, we all know we have to continue to do it today. However, what's the character of this Chazarat Hashatz? According to the Rosh, it is the Chazan's repetition. You happen to be in the room, you want to answer Kedusha your name?
Stephen
said, answer Kedusha. You want to answer, you don't want to answer, move out. As long as there's nine people there, as the Shulchan Aruch says, it's fine. According to the Rambam, you should be there. As a matter of fact, if you only daven your silent Shmoneh Esrei and you leave the room, you're lacking. Because all you did is daven on behalf of yourself, but you didn't daven on behalf of the Kehillah, the community. Now, everything I just said may be correct, may be incorrect, but we have to see if we can find ramifications between these two points of view, and only then can we prove that what we said is correct. But we have a few questions. Yeah.
Wouldn't the Rambam hold in Lechat Chila you should have Chazarat Hashatz?
Yes. He says, whatever the reason was, but now that it's there, you should have it. Absolutely. When he codifies the law, he says, Kehei teitzad hi tefilat hatzibur. What is the communal prayer? Yes.
If you're only talking to the community, not yourself,
if you only daven for the community and not yourself, what do you mean? Oh, let's go. Beautiful. Your name?
Naomi.
Naomi?
Yeah.
Naomi just brought the first ramification. You come into shul late. You know people like that? Have you ever met people that come into shul late? There are such people on the face of the earth. So, a guy or a lady comes into shul late, and they have to know what to do. Now, there's rules and regulations what to do. Not you. God forbid. Not yet. We were talking about people coming into shul late during services. We're not in services now. So, there's rules and regulations how to catch up to daven with the congregation. Now, let's say you're at the point blank. Namely, you come in, you somehow got to the silent Amidah, and the congregation's about to finish the silent Amidah. What should you do? Ideas, what should you do?
Stand up.
Yeah.
To listen to the Shliach Tzibur, and you are covered by what he says.
Okay. So, comes along, I forget your name again?
Stephen.
Stephen, and says, listen, very simple. Put your feet together, answer Amen to the Shliach Tzibur, that was the original enactment, and you're covered. I'm just going to add to Stephen that the Yerushalmi says it's better that you daven for, there's three places where we don't want to use Shomea Ka'one. Shomea Ka'one means when you hear something is as if you're saying it. So many of you read the Megillah of this Purim, correct? Everyone here read it or heard it? Actually, you all read it. If you heard it, it's like you read it. You understand how that works? Kriyat HaTorah yesterday. You heard it or you read it? Think about that a minute. I won't answer now. But Megillah reading is a very good example, or at the Seder. If someone says it out loud and you listen, it's as if you said it yourself. Very nice. That works in the entire Torah and in davening as well. However, the Yerushalmi says there's three cases we don't advise it. Kriyat Shema, because if you want to accept God as your God, better you do it yourself and not get a representative. Birkat HaNehenim, such as when you want to go ahead and you want to eat something, you should make the bracha yourself. And davening, because if you have something to daven for, you should do it yourself. You should have that direct relationship with God, not through an intermediary of some sort, namely not through someone else. However, I want to daven with the congregation, because davening with the congregation, we have a promise from God that He will listen to our prayers. He may say no, but He's going to listen. When you daven alone, He may not even listen. You may be talking to a wall, literally. I'm not talking about the kotel. I'm talking about talking to a wall. But if you daven with the congregation, you have a promise from God that He will listen. He may say no, but He will listen. So I want to daven with the congregation. So what should you do? Said Stephen, put your feet together. Because of the Yerushalmi, I would suggest, and this is what the Rambam suggests, that based on his point of view, say word by word with the Chazan. The Chazan says, Baruch Atah Hashem, you say Baruch Atah Hashem. You synchronize with the Chazan, and everyone's going to answer Amen to the Chazan, and to who else? To you. Why? Because the Rambam comes along and says, you're doing it anyway. Every single day, even if you davened your silent Amidah, you're still davening the Chazarat Hashat. So in this case, what are you doing? You're killing two birds with one stone. You're davening your personal Amidah together with the communal Amidah at the same time. That's what the Rambam says, and many poskim actually agree with the Rambam, including the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, we'll get to the Shulchan Aruch in a moment. Comes along the Rosh and says in his responsum that I heard that certain people come into Shul and they synchronize with the Chazan and they daven word for word to the Chazan. You know what the Rosh says based on his point of view that the Chazan's repetition is really just for the people that don't know? I quote, Nirali. Anytime a Rishon says Nirali, you know, he's about to get raged. Nirali, sheyesh li g'or be'otan ha-magbi'im kolan be'yudchet. That you have to go ahead and tell those that ultimately daven out loud that they're doing something wrong. V'omrimi me'chazan tfilat yudchet be'kidusha. So we have to scream at the people for two things. One, when it's a silent Amidah, they make it a out loud Amidah. You know those people that they can never daven quietly? I have those people. They can never daven quietly. Okay? That's the first people you have to scream at. Who's the second person? I quote, Ba'omim machazan tfilat yudchet bekidusha. Namely, they daven word for word and synchronize with the chazan. Why would the Rosh say, scream at them? The first thing I understand, silent Amidah should be silent. You're mixing up the people. It's not silent. It says silent. You're not doing it silently. Why would he scream at the people that are davening with the chazan word for word? It's not the repetition, it's the chazan. It's nothing to do with me. The Rambam, on the other hand, said, it's my tefillah anyway, so you might as well synchronize. Two birds with one stone. The Rosh says, it's his tefillah, nothing to do with you. Which leads us to our second ramification, and that is, ultimately, texting and learning during Chazarat Hashatz. Based on what I just said, what do you think the answer is going to be? Now, obviously, there's going to be a difference of opinion here. If not, I wouldn't be able to get a salary because it would be boring. You know that many people learn during Chazarat Hashatz. You know that many people don't. The question is, if during Chazarat Hashatz I can take out my phone and start returning emails and WhatsApps and texts and also learn Torah and do all this when the Chazan's standing here and Chazaning away. What would the Rosh say?
Yes.
Yes. Why?
Because the Chazan position, he's doing it for people that couldn't do it. You could.
But how can he say it? No, but he's saying no as well. Because they've got to answer amen in order that it's not.
So, as Naomi says, and your name?
Gidon.
So Gidon and Naomi, putting your two together, according to the Rosh, it's the Chazan's business. For those that didn't daven yet, I already davened, I'm finished. I'm taking out my phone. However, caveat of Naomi, you have to answer amen because it's not nice that a Chazan says, stands there and no one answers amen. So, what do you got to do? There's two choices. Choice number one is you nominate 9 people. Say, you 9 will answer amen today. The rest of us, we're going to text. That's Sunday. Monday, switch. Tuesday, we'll do another rotation. But we always have to have 9. 9 people to answer amen. Or, make it a little easier. Forget about the rotation system. Can you do 2 things at once? Can you multitask? My wife can multitask. About me, she says I can't. I think I can, she tells me I can't. Now, if you can multitask, and on the one hand return a WhatsApp and answer amen at the same time, the Rosh would say, no problem. So, it's the Chazan's business. He's taking care of those that didn't daven yet. You need 9 people to answer amen? No problem. Every time I hear the words, Chanun Amar Beli Sloach, I'll say, amen. I'll say your Shomei Atzfilah, I'll say, amen. At the same time I'm saying amen, I'm returning a WhatsApp to a friend of mine, and I'm saying, drop dead, I don't like you anymore. But amen, no problem. What would the Rambam agree? Absolutely not. What would the Rambam say? It's your tefillah, and therefore the Rambam says, and I quote, you have to stand there and answer amen to every single word that the Chazan says, because it's as if you're davening, and therefore there is no room to learn or to text or to do anything else during Chazarat Hashatz. This eventually comes down not to the codes, but to the interpretations on the codes. The Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, the regular poskim all say, you're not supposed to learn during Chazarat Hashatz, or even say Tehillim during Chazarat Hashatz, in order to be stringent to the Rambam's opinion. However, comes along the Magen Avraham, and being intellectually honest, as some people are, says that there is a very important posek called the Ramah with an ayin mipano. Pano was a place in, I believe, Italy, in which he says if you can do 2 things at once, then it's okay during Chazarat Hashatz to do other things. So when you go into a typical shul and you see people during Chazarat Hashatz doing this or doing that, they're obviously assuming 2 things. First of all, they're assuming that the Rosh is correct. It's the Chazan's repetition, nothing to do with me. And number 2, they're also assuming that Naomi's caveat that they can do 2 things at once, because we don't want a Chazan to say a bracha without answering amen. Those that do not do that, those that even take it a step further and stand up during Chazarat Hashatz. My own Rebbe and mentor, Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, and I, this is my own custom, stands with their feet together during Chazarat Hashatz. What would they say? Absolutely not, because it's my tefillah, it's communal. Here's my spokesman, the Chazan. I'm answering amen, not just because he said a bracha, but because it's my tefillah. And therefore the Rambam says you have to answer amen. On other brachas, if you want to answer amen, great. But on Chazarat Hashatz, he says you have to answer amen because it's your davening. So these 2 models exist in our shuls, and I'm about to tell you my opinion as to where we should go with Chazarat Hashatz, but you should know there's validity for both opinions. Yes?
Can I just ask, presuming for the women in the community, they don't have to ask to answer amen because there's no advantage of becoming part of a minion, so they're not part of the 9, so they don't have to do the multitasking according to the Rambam.
They're not part of the minion. You're correct. They're not counted for the minion, but they're definitely part of the minion.
Okay. Okay, but in terms of being part of the meaning that's answering the nine amens to the ceiling.
If they're one of them, that's a fascinating question. It would depend on the mechitza and the shul. If the mechitza is up to the ceiling, then they're not part of the minyan simply because geographically they're in a different place. If it's a mechitza like this, then they are part in the sense of maybe their amens will be counted for the nine. Perhaps. Again, perhaps. It's a question to contemplate on, but definitely for one thing I can tell you for sure. If a woman is in shul and she answers amen to the brachas of the Chazara Tashatz, she is definitely part of the communal service according to the Rambam. There's no question in my mind. Is she one of the nine? That's a question we have to deal with. Yes. Let's go. Naomi, yes.
Out of curiosity, if one was there with repetition, but hadn't already said their own Amidah, and instead of saying
the long
repetition, then said it afterwards, does that count?
If you had your repetition, if you said your repetition.
So if you were there for repetition, you had said the Amida, yeah. You then didn't say along with the Chazan, and then you come along and say your own Amida afterwards, is that.
Very good question. So we mentioned earlier that there's difference of opinion what happens when you come late. The first opinion is daven word for word with the Chazan. Till kill two birds with one stone. The Rosh was dead against it. There's a third opinion, and that is start with the Chazan and finish alone. You know that opinion? Start with the Chazan means let the Chazan start Baruch Atah Hashem, get the Kedusha, and then when he finishes Kedusha, you start your silent Amida and try to finish it before he gets the Shomei Tefillah. How you pull that one off is beyond me. I've never been able to, but it's in the code of Jewish law. It's one of the opinions. In other words, to do your silent Amida in such a way where you're starting with the repetition, then you're doing your private Amida, and you're ending with the communal Amida, somehow getting it all in. That only works if you agree with the Rosh. If you agree with the Rambam, you'll say, well, you have to do acrobatics. Kill two birds with one stone. But you're absolutely right. Now, I have not found an opinion as of yet where you can hear the repetition, say Amen, and then do your private Amida afterwards. It would logically lead to it, but maybe it would be a little funny because the Rambam says that if indeed you heard the whole repetition, you said Amen, maybe you fulfilled your tefillah that day. Again, according to the Yerushalmi, better you daven yourself, but if you didn't, you still fulfilled your obligation. So I haven't found a point of view that says that part. But the opposite has been done. Yes, Gideon?
According to the second Edmund Avraham, would there be any chiluk between learning and talking?
With regard to talking, the Shulchan Aruch is very, very adamant, and he says, and I quote, "Lo yasiach sichat cholin b'sha'a sh'shliach tzibur chozer ha'tfilah." You should not talk during Chazarat Hashatz. Have you seen people talking during Chazarat Hashatz? Don't answer. That's a hard question. Not politically correct to answer that. Ve'im sach, and if he talks, the far was the Shulchan Aruch and said, it was totally yasser, I'll say, asur lesuch, b'sha'at Chazarat Hashatz. What does he say? You shouldn't talk, and if you do, chote vegadol avono minso vegoabrim bo. He is a great sinner, he has a great sin on his slate, and you have to scream at him, and yell at him, and tell him he's doing something wrong. There are Rama says, v'yilamav banav k'tanim yayanu amen. You have to teach your kids to answer amen. What is this all about? If it's Asr, the Shulchan Aruch knows how to write Asr. Like it says, you're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. He says, Asur Levashel B'Shabbat. Three words. Why is he going into this whole thing? Because he's not sure it's Asr. He's saying it's not right. It ruins decorum. There's many reasons. But he can't bring himself to say the word Asur, forbidden, simply because, according to the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Rosh, it's the Chazan's repetition. So why can't I talk? Nine people are listening, or maybe I'm listening and I'm also answering Amen. Now the Shulchan Aruch, and this is where I wanted to end, the main poskim came out and said it's better not to learn during Chazarat Hashatz, and from our perspective, text and what's up. Even though, as I said, according to the Rosh, there's room to say you can do two things at once. And this is for two reasons. And this is, I'm quoting word for word from the Mishnah Berurah. Number one, you may be able to do two things at once, but other people are not. You may be able to multitask, but other people are not. So they're going to look at you and say, hey, during Chazarat Hashatz, I can talk, I can WhatsApp, I don't have to be there, you know? I'm just in the room, present, but absent. While you're doing two things at once, they'll learn from you not to. And number two, he says, he's very reluctant to believe that people practically can do two things at once. Namely, if you look at yourselves in davening, And you ask yourselves, if I'm in the middle of an email and the chazan says something and I answer amen, do I know what I'm answering amen to? The chazan could have said, may this whole congregation drop dead, go into a lake and not come out of it, and everyone says, amen. So you ask for amen. I don't know what he said. So therefore, for those two practical reasons, one, people may learn from you the wrong thing. They're not doing two things at once. They're just doing one thing. And two, you may be answering amen to something you don't want to. Or to be more precise, there's something called amen yetoma, which means you just answer amen in the air. Ultimately, the Mishnah Brura says it's better not to learn and not to say Tehillim and not to do all these things during davening. However, as we saw today, is Chazarat HaShatz the Chazan's repetition, or is it my business as well? My point of view on this, and with this I'll end humbly, is that if we do have a Chazarat HaShatz, then indeed maybe we should be stringent for the Rambam and ultimately say, hey, we should all listen, not do anything else. But that's on one condition. The timing has to be suitable. It can't be a chazan that takes 20 minutes, because how are we supposed to stand there for 20 minutes and not do anything? Even this class, which was a half an hour, is very difficult because many of you wanted to look at your phone, including myself, and you didn't, and I'm giving the class. You can imagine. Now, ultimately, because of that, it's very difficult to have a chazan that's going to take so much time, and yet the people are going to supposed to stand there and listen the whole time. And therefore, it's extremely important that if we want Chazarat HaShatz to be a pure communal prayer, we have to talk to the chazanim and say, keep your watch in front of you and be aware of the time. Be able to do two things at once, but two different things at once. Number one, have the proper kavana and daven properly. And two, don't take too long doing it. Because if you do, you will lose the congregation. And if you lose the congregation, then I am very fearful that a communal prayer turns into the chazan's prayer only. One last question, yes.
What about Rosh Hashanah?
What about Rosh Hashanah?
It's like the longest.
Correct. Throughout the generations, all the Rabbanim dealt with Chazarat HaShatz. They didn't have phones, but they had other problems. People wanted to learn. Maybe that's a good thing. They wanted to talk. They wanted to take a smoke. Whatever it was. And they all tried to make Chazarat HaShatz much more participatory. One of the ways they did it on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and in many shuls, even on all the Yom Tovim and other happy occasions of the year, like the four parshiyot, is to add in what we call piyutim. What was the idea of piyutim? Let's spice it up, because let's be honest, if you say the exact same words twice, it's boring. Imagine if I repeated this entire lecture again. You'd be bored out of your minds. We do that in shul every day. Chaz, you daven yourself, 19 blessings. The chazan repeats exactly those 19 blessings. So they spiced it up. You mentioned Kedusha. We put in a modin. We put in piyutim. And the longer the davening, the more piyutim. The more special the day, the more piyutim. We have to contemplate today, do the piyutim actually make people more participatory or less participatory? And as you know, there's new siddurs being printed where there's no piyutim for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, because first of all, no one was saying them, and second of all, not only to save on print, it wasn't getting to the goal we wanted to get to. On Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's still there. But even there, I think the chazan has a very important job, and that is to ensure that it's participatory. A lot of communal singing, a lot of communal participation in those parts, so that people feel this is not just my davening, chazan. This is everyone's davening. At the end of davening, when you give a yesher koach, you're saying, thank you for representing me. But that's only going to be on two conditions. A, the time factor, and B, the chazan knows how to make it participatory to the extent possible. If you do that, at the end of davening, you can say, this was my davening as well. Thank you all very much. Wishing you a good day and a happy Pesach Sheni.